Well, good morning. It is so good to be back with my church family this week as we begin a brand new series and taking the next step of our apprenticeship of Jesus called Level Up. Why this series? Why now? Because for the past few months, a small group of us, we have been focusing and working diligently on this thing called Clarity House. Because we are looking to add clarity to why we do what we do here at Faith Bridge Church, of this mission that God has called us to, which is to go and make what? Disciples. And as we're going to talk about this today and in the next few weeks, all of this is going to come together and make perfect sense. Amen? But we're going to really endeavor to dig in deep as to what does it mean to level up. As we just sang this last song, no matter when, no matter how, no matter where, Lord, send me. How many of you love singing that song? You see, I think it's easy for us to sing those words. I think it's easy for us to intellectually affirm, yes, Lord, here I am, just like Isaiah did. Here I am, Lord, send me. But as long as it's not over there, or as long as it's not to those people, or as long as it's not to that area of the world, because as long as I will go wherever you want me to go, Lord, as long as it's within my zip code, in my neighborhood, in my house, I'm good with that. Are you with me, church? Say, oh yeah. But as soon as God says, no, actually, I want you to think and have a vision bigger than your neighborhood, than your neighbor, than your family, than what you're used to and familiar with. I have a vision. I have a mission for you that is so fantastic and beyond anything you can imagine. But it's going to require you to step outside your front door. It's going to require you to give up your preferences. It's going to require you to give up that which you hold dear, those who you hold most precious to you. In fact, I want you to sell everything, and I want you just to go. That's what Abraham did. Abraham was called by God to go into a land that God had promised him, and Abraham said, all right, let's go, Lord. Where are we going? I'll show you. Okay, cool. What do I get to bring with me? Everything. You just got to go. Okay. Where are we going? I'll let you know. How many of us have that kind of faith? Abraham's faith in God was credited to him as what? Righteousness. And so we sing these songs, we hear these words, and what we're going to talk about today, and we would agree intellectually. We would say, I affirm that, Pastor Jeff. It's in the Bible. I agree with that. The follow-up is, then what are you going to do about it? And that's where it hits us, doesn't it, church? Because we can all agree with the truth of God's word. We can all affirm, yes, Lord, no matter when, no matter how, no matter where, Lord, I will go. I'm willing to go. Please don't call me Lord. Somebody else raised their hand. And we kind of close our eyes and we're like, somebody else has got to be raising their hand, right? Or am I the only one? I would love it if just one of us would raise our hand at times. Amen? Taking the next step, leveling up. What does your next step of obedience in Christ look like? What is God calling you to do? What is God tapping you on the shoulder and saying, hey, brother, hey, sister, here, child, I have this thing for you. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? So to kind of level set us and to get us in this frame of mind, I want to ask a question. I was thinking about this. Where were you 50 years ago? Some of you are like, I wouldn't even hear. I wouldn't even a twinkling in my mama's eye, I promise you. Because I wasn't. I'm not quite 50, praise God. Hey. I'm getting there, though. I'm getting there. Where were you 50 years ago? What were you doing? How has your relationship with Christ changed? How has it grown or developed in the past 50 years? Has it changed? Or are you like so many believers in the church who you crossed the threshold of faith. You had an amazing encounter with the resurrected Christ. He called you into relationship with him, and you said, yes, I place my faith in Jesus for salvation, for eternal life. I go to church, and that is the end of the story as far as your relationship with Christ goes. And you're still struggling and still wrestling with the same things today that you did 50 years ago, 5 years ago. For those who enjoy nostalgia, you might recall some of these advertisements. I did a Google search, you know, advertisements for 50 years ago. And some of them I could not put on the screen because there was a lot of advertisements for cigarettes, which I thought would be inappropriate for the church. But look at this. Theater-sized home color television, huge 50-inch screen TV. I think that's a starting point nowadays, right? But look at this behemoth. You know, it's a projection. It only weighs 1,000 pounds. It only needs a team of guys to bring it into your home, and you have to actually reinforce your flooring so that it can sit there. Or how did Dodge Colt put so much in such a little car? Anybody driving Dodge Colts these days? Or if you want to buy tickets to Ali Norton, Tuesday, September 28th. The good old days, right? Why is it we remember the past with such rose-colored glasses? It brings nostalgia. It brings good, positive feelings. 50 years ago, this was cutting-edge technology. This was cutting-edge everything. This was the highlight of culture. Does anybody want to go back there? No way. Why? I enjoy my 84-inch flat screen. What about you? I enjoy electric remote start with heated seats in my vehicle, praise God. We're not going to go back. But yet it would seem that in the church, we still live in the past. We live in a system, in a paradigm that's about 50 years old. We're going to talk about that. Because we're stuck in this cycle of what does it mean to be an apprentice, a disciple of Jesus in the church. And I want to call to our remembrance Jesus' great commission found in Matthew chapter 28. If you have your Bibles, turn there with me. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 and following. Now, Jesus is about to ascend into heaven. He's fulfilled his mission. He's gathered the 11 disciples in Galilee at a mountain to which Jesus had directed them. They arrive, they see Jesus there, and they saw him, they worshiped him. Some still had some doubts. Some were like, I'm just not sure that I can commit my heart, my mind, my everything to this. And Jesus came and he said to them, he said, look, brothers, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I want to pause there for a second and just marinate a little bit on this thing that Jesus is saying. He's saying, all what? All authority has been given to me. Authority that covers what scope? Heaven and earth, everything. God had given Jesus all authority over all things. Jesus didn't seek it. Jesus didn't pursue it per se, but it was given to him. And so Jesus, in this authority, this all authority, that's why he's King Jesus. He gives this command, these statements to his disciples and all who would then follow and believe in him. And what are those things? He says in verse 19, go therefore and make what? Disciples. And we've talked about this previously, that the command, the imperative is not in the go. That's the indicative. The command is in the make. And what Jesus is saying is, as you go through life, brothers, Peter, as you go through life, I've commissioned you to be a fisher of men. As you fish men, as you call people to me, I want you to make them disciples. I want you to baptize them. I want you to teach them. As you go through life, make disciples. Of who? All nations. Make disciples of all nations. What does it mean to make a disciple? There's two things that Jesus says. Number one, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's position one. Second is teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. So how are the disciples to make disciples? To baptize and to what? Teach. To teach those people, those nations, all that Jesus has commanded to observe all those things. And if you look back over the Gospels and what Jesus had actually commanded his disciples to do, it's very simple. There are three things, really, that Jesus commanded his disciples. The first of which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Remember? When Jesus was approached by the lawyer, the Pharisee, the scribe, he said, what are the greatest commandments? He said, well, there's just one, really. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second command is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. But then in the upper room, as Jesus is with his disciples at the Last Supper, in John chapter 13, he says, a new command I give you. Remember that? A new command I give you. And what is that new command? That you love one another. That you love one another as I have loved you. And so the world will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. So when Jesus says, teaching them all that I have commanded you, what is he saying to the disciples? He says, go make disciples, teaching them to what? To love God and to love one another. Love God, love one another. How is it that we've forgotten that, church? How is it that we have misplaced this great commission of loving one another and loving the Father? And notice this, look at verse 20. At the last part, he says, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. You see, Jesus is challenging his disciples. He's challenging us. He's issuing this challenge to go and make disciples. Making disciples by baptizing them and teaching them all that Jesus has commanded. But he says, I'm also going to invite you because I'm going to be with you. You don't have to do this in your own strength, in your own power, according to your own principles. You're doing this on my behalf, under my authority. And remember, what did Jesus say? All authority has been given to me. And so Jesus, under his authority, he is commanding us to go make disciples. Notice that with all authority does not make this an option for believers. The command to make disciples, to teach and to baptize is not an option. It's not something that you and I as followers of Christ can say, you know what, Lord, I want salvation, I want all the good stuff, but none of the responsibility. Amen? Kind of sounds like my kids. I want all of the benefits of being in my dad's house with none of the responsibility. Some of you parents are like, yeah, I know. How do we fix that? I don't know. But it's true. We want all of the privileges without the responsibility. But the reality is, Jesus is giving us this command and the responsibility to go and make disciples. But he's not leaving us and hanging us out to dry. He's going to be with us always to the end of the age. And this is something both Peter and Paul pick up in some of their writings. As they're writing to churches, people just like you and me in the first century, in Peter's second letter at the end of his writing, he says, you, therefore, beloved, you brothers and sisters in Christ, knowing what's going to happen as a result of this truth, this teaching, this command that Christ Jesus has given us in the marketplace of ideas, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. Peter is encouraging the saints to say, look, out in the marketplace of ideas, the gospel is competing with everything else. What is it competing with? Errors of lawless people, people who are a law unto themselves. They don't acknowledge God. They don't acknowledge his rules. They don't acknowledge his authority over their lives. And so they're going to make the choices for themselves as they see fit. And that, Peter says, is an error. Don't get carried away. Don't get caught up in that false sense of self and thereby lose your stability, the ground, the foundation that is Christ. Does that make sense? Say, oh yeah. But rather, what does Peter say? He says, grow, mature in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be a disciple, an apprentice? It means that we're growing in the knowledge and the understanding of Christ our Lord, that we are becoming more and more like him, which is what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4. that as he's explaining the gifts of the offices of the church, apostles and prophets and teachers and pastors, until we all, that is those who are in the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, adulthood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, immature, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, second, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Paul is affirming that same idea that in the marketplace of ideas, there are going to be things that are going to come against the truth and the reality of the gospel. And we're going to be tempted, if we're not growing and maturing, baptizing and teaching all that Christ has commanded, we're going to be tempted to adopt some of those false ideas and import them into our life in Christ. Does that make sense? And we need to be aware of that. And how do we grow in our awareness? By maturing. Rather, Paul then goes on to say, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. God's desire, his will for each and every one of us who are in Christ is to become just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. So here's maybe a useful definition for you. A disciple, or is the modern word equivalent, is an apprentice. An apprentice of Jesus Christ is a person whose values, beliefs, attitudes, and actions are an ever-increasing reflection of the same values, beliefs, and attitudes and actions of King Jesus. So how am I growing as a disciple, as an apprentice of Jesus? Are my values in line with Jesus's values to an ever-increasing degree? Are my beliefs about God, about myself, about sin, about salvation, all the things, are they in line with what Jesus believes and in keeping with what God's word teaches to be true? Are my attitudes, right? Because what good is belief and value if it doesn't affect my attitude? Are my attitudes a reflection of Christ's? And are my actions, the way I actually conduct myself, how I do things, what I do, what I don't do, are they an ever-increasing reflection of that of King Jesus? Because I believe, and I think Scripture supports, that we are to grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Amen? The challenge, though, the challenge before us is that for the past 50 years or so, the church at large has lost sight of what it means to be an apprentice of Jesus. We've lost sight of what that entails. We affirm it. We believe it's true. We say, yes, yes, yes. We need to grow up into him who is the head. However, not if that means I have to give up my Sunday morning routine of football, or I have to give up hunting during hunting season, or I have to give up those things that are precious to me, because God, the God of mercy, would not require that of me, right? Everybody say, ouch. Because what we've done in the church is inadvertently moved the finish line. Instead of following Jesus' command of being apprentices who make more apprentices, go back to the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. We've seen the finish line move from the Great Commission that Jesus commanded, that he encouraged, that he exhorted to his disciples with all authority given to him. We've seen that Great Commission become known as the functional Great Commission. And this is fun, let me tell you. The functional Great Commission of the church for the past 50 years has been this: go into all the world and make more worship attenders, baptizing them in the name of small groups and teaching them to serve a few times a month. Brothers and sisters, this has been the ministry practice of churches, not just Faithbridge, but churches in general, for 50 years. And it's not a bad thing. I'm not saying this is bad. Because who doesn't want more people on a Sunday morning to come worship together? I want more people. Who wouldn't want to be connected relationally in small groups where you have small groups of people that actually know each other, that do life together? And let me tell you, there is so much work to be done. We could use a few more of you signing up a few hours a week to work. But the question is this what discipleship actually is? Do you think this is what Jesus had in mind when he gave his disciples the Great Commission? My brothers, I went to the cross, I died an excruciating death, whereby I poured out my blood to be the propitiation for sin. I went to hell and back, literally. On the third day, I rose again, according to the scriptures, so that your churches might grow a little bit and we might get a few people serving a couple hours a week. Brothers and sisters, I pose for your consideration, this is not what Jesus had in mind. And the truth is that most churches have been very successful in executing this model of ministry, of attend, connect, and serve. In fact, here's a graphic that kind of illustrates this as a funnel. We call this the assimilation funnel, where at the wide mouth, and I've used this as a youth pastor, in programming of, you know, we want a space that is as wide, that is welcoming as possible. We want as many people to come in as we can. And then we want to move them down that funnel to where they can connect in relationships and to where then they can ultimately serve. But the reality is, this is not a full view of what discipleship means. It's important. It is a very important part of making apprentices of Jesus, but it comes to a point where there's no outlet. There's no way to continue this journey. This model is incomplete, and it unintentionally moves the finish line of what discipleship and apprenticeship and making apprentices really means. If you think about it, with this assimilation model, we get people coming in, we get them connected to small groups, we get them serving, and then we wonder, why am I not thriving in my relationship with Jesus? Is this all there is to church? Has anybody ever felt that? And we wonder why people get burnt out. Why are people burning out? Why is there not more joy in the church? After all, we're God's people. Amen? I mean, we've been saved by the King. We have a resurrected Savior. Why are we not happier, more joyful, and filled with His presence than because I got to show up for Awana again? Right? I've got to do this thing again. Oh, there goes Pastor Mike asking for more people. Will somebody please raise their hand? Well, what about you? I'm too busy. I can't raise my hand. What we see is 25% doing 75% of the work. That means one out of every four of you is either serving or doubling up. Meaning three out of every four of you are getting away scot-free. I don't have to do it because they're going to do it. You see, not only do we need the assimilation funnel, and I'm not condemning that because we need it. It's critical to our mission. Because we need gatherings. We need the large worship gatherings where we can come together to celebrate who God is and to celebrate what He's done and what He's doing, to where we can encourage each other and sing praise and hear from His word in this format. We need to connect in small groups or in serve teams where we're doing life with each other at a very life-on-life level, because we can't all do life together in a room of 300 to 400 people. It can't happen. We can only do life in a smaller group. And we do need to be serving. That is part of our job. That is part of our DNA. Why? Because our Lord served. He is the example, the model of service. And remember what Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And so we are called to serve. So not only do we need the assimilation funnel, but we must add to it in order for it to be complete, to be functional, healthy, is we need to add what's known as the multiplication funnel, where the finish line is moved from serving to now I'm called, equipped, and I am sent to the world around me to serve as His ambassador. And these two funnels work together in coordination to make apprentices of Jesus who make apprentices of Jesus. And so graphically, it looks like this. So on this, you have one, and every person in this room represents the one. Each and every one of us have been called by King Jesus, moved to the 12. Sorry, the one is Jesus, the 12 is you and I. We have been called to be equipped so that we can be sent. And so what we're endeavoring to do is we're endeavoring at FaithBridge as the leadership team is to move the finish line from only focusing on attending, connecting, and serving, to now identifying how God has called each and every one of us. Because brothers and sisters, you have a calling on your life by King Jesus. No matter how old you are or how young you are, you have a calling by King Jesus to fulfill for his glory. Do you believe that, church? And not only that, it is now our responsibility, my responsibility as the pastor, teacher, the shepherd of our congregation, along with our other shepherds, to equip you, the saints, for the work of the ministry, to be able to equip you to go as you're sent into your, wherever it is, remember, no matter where, no matter how, no matter when, so that we can respond. And not just say, you know what? I would love for you to talk to Pastor Jeff. You know, I would love to share my faith with you, but I don't know how. I know I need to make a disciple, but I don't even know what that looks like in my own life. What does it mean for me to be a disciple? And so what we want to do is, for the next year, is we want to focus on what does it mean to become a training center of disciples or apprentices of Jesus who understand their calling, who are equipped to respond and use their gifting and their calling by God so that they might reach their friends and their neighbors with the gospel. Because we're done with just focusing on teaching and teaching 2.0. We don't need necessarily more and more Bible study, although we do need that. But in the sense of, if I've been saved for 50 years and I'm still looking for that next Bible study and I've never shared my faith with someone, we have missed what discipleship actually entails. And I believe that grieves the Father's heart. And it's my conviction that God is calling our church family to take its next step in becoming apprentices of King Jesus, of obeying our King and our Lord, to go and to make, as we go, to make disciples, to teach them, to baptize them, to level up our relationship with him and with others for his glory. Church, that's what God is calling us to do. And it's going to be scary. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be challenging. But it's going to be an amazing adventure. Because what is Jesus' promise? I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We're not doing this alone. And I believe that God is calling each one of us individually, corporately, not to just come to church and worship, not to just connect in a small group, not just to serve an hour or two a week and then call that good. I'm a disciple of Jesus. Well, no, you're a worship attender. Because a disciple goes and makes other disciples and teaches them all that Christ has commanded. I believe that God is calling each of us to embrace our individual calling upon each and every one of our lives as his apprentice, and to become equipped in fulfilling that calling, and to then go out and do it. I want you, just for a moment, to close your eyes. And I want you to ask the Spirit of God to bring to your mind a person or persons that God has placed in your life that needs you to share the gospel with. Could be a family member, it could be a coworker, could be a teammate, classmate. And I want you to start praying for that person. And I want you to start praying that God would provide the opportunity for you to be bold and sharing your faith with that individual. Some of you are probably freaking out, like, I don't even know the first thing to say. And guess what? That's okay. Because that's what we are endeavoring to do together. To learn how to be disciples who teach and who baptize and who are walking in the spirit of grace and power, not of fear or timidity, but who are loving one another and loving our neighbors just as Christ has loved us. And it really is my heart, church, that I want our church family to be captured by this vision that God has for us. I believe with every fiber of my being that this is what we're called to do. To be disciples who make disciples. To actually be the church that God has called us to be. That Jesus has in mind of his people. I believe that. Do you believe that, church? Because as soon as we walk out of these doors, there's a community that is lost in darkness. There's a community that is drowning in incivility and unrest and political rhetoric and junk. We have the truth and the hope of glory, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's time for us to live that out in real time. Amen? To be apprentices who are sent by King Jesus, who make more apprentices of King Jesus. And this is going to be the focus of this sermon series for the next few weeks, as well as the overall theme of 2026, to level up. And I would be thrilled if you would all join me, our leadership team and King Jesus, as we pursue our next steps to become his apprentices. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word, and we thank you for the challenge of your word, that you have called us to such a magnificent calling as to go and to make disciples as we live our lives here in real time in Park Rapids and Monaga and Nevis and the surrounding areas, Lord. As we live our lives as law enforcement officers, as we live our lives as teachers, as counselors, as moms and dads, as grandparents, as aunties and uncles, as we live our lives as students, that Lord, that the commission, the command is to make disciples as we live our lives, to teach people about everything you've commanded. And Lord, it really isn't difficult. It's to love God and to love others. And yet, Lord, we have complicated it so much because of our fear, because of our ignorance, because a lack of courage, maybe even arrogance, or maybe even apathy. Lord, I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would grab a hold of our hearts, that you would pierce our consciences, Lord, that you would drive us to our knees for our neighbors, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. That, Lord, that you would be glorified, that you would find great pleasure in the presence of your people. Lord, your promise that you are with us always. Lord, we're going to rest on that. We're going to lean into that hard this year, Lord, this week. And God, you who have called us, you are faithful, and you will never leave us nor forsake us. And so, God, I see this as an incredible partnership with your body, with your church, that we truly can become the hands and feet of Christ in our community. But Lord, may it start with me. May it start with us individually making that commitment. May we have the humility to acknowledge, you know, Lord, I've not been doing this right. I've actually kind of missed the point, even for the past 50 years. But I'm not content with settling anymore. There's too much on the line. There's too much at stake. Eternity is in the balance. And you've called me to be your ambassador, to be your disciple. You've called me to be equipped to do the work of the ministry. You've called me to go out and to do the work of the ministry. Whatever that ministry is that you've called and equipped me to do, Lord, may we discover that. May we find that. And may that be fulfilled in us for your glory, Jesus. So I'm calling out to you, Holy Spirit, to do the work only you can do in me and in your people. Lord, we're not going to get it right all the time. But God, we're going to work through it, and we're going to seek your face, and we're going to keep our eyes fixed on you, Jesus, for you are the author and the perfecter of our faith. And Lord, we're counting on you, who is faithful, to be faithful. Lord, as we endeavor to glorify you in all that we say and do, we love you, we commit ourselves, we submit ourselves to your authority, rule and reign, Jesus. For all authority has been given unto you. We acknowledge that as your people, and all God's people said, amen.